Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. I'm in pain on the shoulder. I think that installing this new wall support for my TV, it wasn't that heavy, but I think I may have been in a bad position. Wasn't a good idea to do it the way I did, I guess, because I was holding it and at the same time screwing it. I must have done something to my shoulder. We still have troubles getting started on Odyssey. That's really too bad. Normally, at this point, like, I'm assuming that it will fix itself and I have to speak and speak until I see the show appear. New guy says, I still got nothing. Ha. That is unacceptable. And here we are. We are live now. Unacceptable that Odyssey behaves like this. It is not a valid streaming platform. This is a hilarious video. The casualness with which this man jumps over a chainsaw that is being pulled by a motorcycle. Pay attention to this guy. You're going to see him jump as a chainsaw just comes to slash. To slash his feet. What is the context here? Is that a movie? Is that some of the recent French protests and riots? I have no idea who carries a chainsaw like this to slash tires en masse. Oh my god, I have no idea where it comes from. The guy Crazy Clips has not labeled it as to where it was coming from. Hamilton says, Demolition Man. Well, I see people naming movies from which it would come, it's like every single person is naming a different movie. Big Tech Exodus says, it's weird how the Odyssey theme starts consistently bad, but is otherwise good. Yes, the start is very bad, very bad. We have someone who has found a technology allowing himself to put his hands on fire. Unfortunately for him, this is not a good idea ever.
I got superpowers, bitch! I got superpowers, bitch!
Yeah, he thought it would just stop the fire to be waving his hands like this, not necessarily. And so he found himself putting much more fire than he expected. We need to talk about various subjects, including this Elon Musk decision to ban tweets. We'll get to it soon. CBDCs with expiration dates, restrictions could target social policies, economist tells WEF. Yeah, this is one of the big scary things about central bank digital currency. Here I'm going to ban this guy. He comes here to put me in trouble. You are banned, sir. It's the problem with central bank digital currencies. It is extremely scary. They could have policies like, okay, now we need to reduce the carbon emissions of white people. Now we need to redistribute. And so people of that color, people of that ethnicity, people of that religion, we're going to give you a little more this week. People of that ethnicity, we're going to give you a little less. Anything that these crazy central controllers are thinking about, are dreaming about, they'll be able to implement it by biasing the money supply. and biasing who it goes to. They've already tried this again and again politically through student loans, through preferential loan treatments for minorities, through forcing banks to accept minorities at a lower standard of insurance on the loans. Once they have control of a CBDC, they're going to be able to arbitrarily just give money, create money for people. Go Away says, weekly limits on JF super chats enforced by central bank digital currency. Exactly. Like, what if they say, all right, the white is giving way too big super chats to JF. We're going to now limit the super chats to $12. I mean, this would put someone in trouble. US PhD student killed doing research in warring Mexican state once controlled by El Chapo, a hornet's nest. Gabriel Trujillo, a UC Berkeley PhD student. So there he is. He was a botanist. Don't go do botany in a cartel area of Mexico. It was two factions of the Sinaloa cartel and the Carborsa cartel. Of course, if you get yourself into these dangerous places for studying plants, it's just not worth it. He's now dead. Aquanote says, based liberal getting enriched. Yes, in a way, it is the liberal philosophy meeting its dead end, meeting its brick wall. They want to be opened. They eventually die because of that openness. Go Away says, he died for science. Can you say that, JF? Yeah, I guess he died for science. You can say this, but it's such unimportant science. Like, who cares? Who cares if you've characterized the particular plants of this area? We can totally live without that knowledge. It will not have any sort of impact. It turned out to be a big mistake. Gen Z's trans poster child, Milo, from 2016 MTV show, re-emerges and tearfully regrets hormone jabs, hairy belly, and dead ovary. I believe I must have reviewed... I must have reviewed this person. I remember seeing this person. I don't know if I've reviewed a clip at some point in an old show, but I remember also the name Milo. Back in 2016, Milo was celebrated in the MTV documentary Transformation at the start of her female to male gender change. Trying out Hawaiian shirts and saying she felt invincible. 7 years later, and Milo has returned to the screen as a female again with a YouTube post about bitterly regretting a transition that's left her scarred, hairy, and most likely infertile. Wow. Okay. I keep thinking about how, if I ever want to be perceived by society as a woman, I now have to do vocal training and I need laser to get rid of my facial hair. But I'm just so tired. Well, you've put yourself through a completely ridiculous process. You chose it. You've let these people miscounsel you in a direction that wasn't good for you. That's almost good for no one. I cannot imagine living my life as a female, Milo had said in the original show. Milo described the amazing feeling of relief that I get from thinking that never have to do anything feminine again for the rest of my life. I'll see you. That person seems like they had a self-hate and a hate of the burden of femininity. When you think about it, it is a big burden. If it doesn't come to you naturally, everything we expect from women, you know, classy behavior, to be objects of beauty, to not be too testosterone-fueled, too aggressive, too creative, Those are expectations that are put on women, but at the same time, it's not like society will reject you any less as a woman who wouldn't do this. At worst, you're going to be exiting the dating market voluntarily. You're going to be becoming an involuntary or voluntary celibate. So you'll not be desirable, but you can still be a woman. If anything, taking the trans route will lead to more rejection and more self-hate. I'm sure that this person has even more self-hate as they realize that they not only have the burden to do the female stuff, but they have lost the looks, they have lost the way in which a female is supposed to look. So it's going to get even harder. So let's talk about Elon Musk and his decision to rate limit Twitter. People are confused. I'm confused. No one has any idea. I'm now using Twitter. I swear, it's like a psychological thing. I think I've been checking out four times less Twitter content today than any other day of the year. Because I always use Twitter to work on the show when I have it. We learned that White has been rate limited at $12 per super chat. No! The WEF came in. He says, "Hey, JF, great show today." And then he sends another $12 super chat and he says, "Hey, why can I only donate $12? No! White has lost his capacity to support the show with his enormous super chats of hundreds of dollars. Guys, I'm going to need something. I'm going to need you guys to help him reach the normal target that he reaches, because at $12 from White, the show can't make it forward." I hope that this is a joke. I hope that they didn't they didn't rate limit the super chats. But Elon did rate limit Twitter, and it led to a totally psychological effect on me. I'm scared. I'm scared of scrolling through my Twitter feed, because I'm like, will I reach the limit now? Will I reach it now? I don't know. I haven't reached the limit at all today, but it's probably through self-censorship, a kind of chilling effect on my relationship with the Twitter app. And White says, "I hacked Odyssey. I got it." And he sends $101. Thank you so much, White. He has used his computer hacking talent to undo the WEF rate limit. So a lot of people have different hypotheses about what motivated Elon. The announcement of this policy, Elon says, to address extreme levels of data scraping and system manipulation, we've applied the following temporary limits. So that's the first good news. It's that it's temporary. But what does temporary mean here? Is it one day, 1 week, 1 year? I have no idea. The other good news is that verified accounts have 6,000 posts per day that they can read. Now, reading, what does that mean? Do you mean that it passes on my screen? Do you mean that I pay attention to it to the point that you can reasonably believe that I've read it? Do you mean impression? Do you mean, like, if it shows up at the bottom of my scroll, but I don't scroll down there, did I read this tweet? Did I load it? Did I load it in my feed? What is reading 6,000 posts per day? Now, I really hate that the unverified accounts are limited to 600 posts per day, because there are a lot of people who are legitimate users of Twitter, but they don't need this verified aspect. They're really on Twitter as users. They don't want exposures for themselves. They are on there to read the tweets of other people. They are followers. Now, it's very sad that these people will be exposed to less post and will have also, just like me, a chilling effect. Because that's 10 times less post than what I can read. And I'm already afraid that 6,000 posts on my normal Twitter behavior, I wouldn't be surprised that I do 6,000 posts every 10 minutes, 30 minutes. I mean, I'm scrolling and looking for the best news to talk about. And when I start loading them on my computer, you can see the tabs. It's Twitter, 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 Twitter. I want to show this video, this video, this video. And if there's a Windows update, I have to restart my computer. I have to reload all the tabs. And they keep requesting, they kind of re-request the page to Twitter. Does that count as a read? I'm super afraid that I may not be able to do my normal job at 6,000 posts per day. Hopefully, that is truly a temporary and very short-term policy. Nick Dickham was saying he is most likely cucking to friends under the guise of Madata, such a disgusting person. That is an interesting hypothesis because Elon Musk had been speculating, not Elon Musk, this guy is speculating that Elon Musk may be influenced by what Macron has said and the French government basically saying, we will go after social media. Is it possible that Elon Musk is trying to reduce the rate, to reduce the risk of legislation or martial law being declared in France against social media, something like this? That could very well be it. We had Nicholas Christakis, who is an author of a bad book, if I remember correctly. I had reviewed this book, and I wasn't very impressed. But anyways, he's an author, but he doesn't have a blue check mark. Look at this. And so he gets, even if he has 200,000 followers, he gets the 600 tweets per day limit. And look at this, he cannot even look at his own profile. Rate limit exceeded. I'm enjoying this. I have to say, I'm enjoying to see those leftists academics who were too cheap to pay $8 a month, who want to look like they're serious people on Twitter, but you cannot pay the Elon toll, as DK Shadow puts it. I'm kind of happy about this one, that maybe it will encourage in the long term, maybe people will say, all right, I just can't afford losing Twitter or being heavily rate limited. I'm going to have to buy the superior service. But in my experience, that is not how you acquire good clientele on the internet. You have to be very generous on the internet, and then people will be generous in return. But perhaps Elon is just tired, and he's just said, all right, there's too many parasites on this platform. I'm going to make life impossible for them, for those who are not paying us. That would be an interesting possibility. The Sicilian Irish robot says, some people asked me to share what I just shared in a space about the rate limits. I don't work for Twitter, but I do architect IT cloud solutions as my day job. It is temporary. Twitter's rate limiting is not what everyone is thinking it is. It is not to punish non-paying users. Data scrapping is a big deal. This is where automated systems load the website or app and pull your tweets/data. It's a huge security issue. Automated systems are pulling every tweet/word/user account information to store in an unknown database somewhere else. The thing is, I agree that data scraping is annoying and a security risk. But why is it a threshold of number of reads? That won't help long term. It will help as long as the threshold is there. But these robots are going to be back in business the day this threshold goes away. So you're really annoying all of your regular clientele just for a minority of robots, whatever proportion they are of the Twitter population. And rather than this, why not use characterization? There must be some behavior other than the amount of tweets read that differentiates someone like me, who's a heavy Twitter user. I spend my days on Twitter trying to make a show for the night, trying to think about clips that will be popular on Twitter. Why would it be the amount of views, which is ultimately a measure of the addiction, the addictiveness of Twitter? If you get rid of the addictiveness of Twitter, you lose a lot of what the platform has in terms of interest. He says this could be state actors like China, the US government, Australia, or other bad political actors like PACs that are trying to gain access to everyone's information to analyze and use for nefarious things. I agree with all this, but you have to find a way to intervene on them, but not intervene on the regular user. There must be very clear, non-linear, like machine learning techniques that totally differentiate between my behavior and the behavior of a robot who's trying to get every tweet. Clearly, that is like, I'm not trying to get every tweet. You can certainly perceive this humanness with a machine learning algorithm. That should be what Elon unleashed on his Twitter, not that way. But Film the Police has a very interesting hypothesis on his side that we are all being deceived and the rate limiting wasn't motivated by any of the reasons we've just stated. He says, so the truth comes out. Twitter's cloud contract with Google ran out. It seems that Twitter was unable to move its infrastructure off of Google fast enough. Today's outages are the end result. Elon is lying when he claims this was brought on by data scraping. So more platform instability could be in Twitter's near future. In 2018, Twitter signed a $1 billion contract with Google to host some of its services on the company's Google Cloud servers. Platformer reports Twitter recently refused to pay the search giant ahead of the contract's June 30th renewal date. So that was yesterday. So we are July 1st. So it would all be about the fact that it's July 1st. That would be why Twitter has gone down today. Twitter is reportedly rushing to move as many services off of Google's infrastructure before the contract expires, but the effort is running behind schedule, putting some tools, including Smite, a platform the company acquired in 2018 to bolster its moderation capabilities, in danger of going offline. Well, that is interesting. If this ultimately hurts the ability of Twitter to censor, that could be interesting. But it may be also why Elon wanted a rate limit. It's perhaps that he's working with new servers, trying to develop, and he's not sure that the limits of these servers will be able to perform equally. If Twitter can't migrate the system to its own servers before the end of the month, platformers suggest a shutdown would greatly impact the company's ability to combat spam and child sexual abuse material. Before Saturday, Smite had been already showing signs of strain following Elon Musk's deep cuts to Twitter's workforce. In December, Musk reportedly asked Twitter's trust and safety team why the automated system hadn't caught a Twitter Blue user who had been impersonating him to pump a crypto scam. The team told Musk the system had been unstable for a week, crashing at least once a day. DK Shadow says, so many of these crypto scam bots. Yes, I received DMs because my DMs are opened because I I know that there are some people who may be watching the show, want to contact me, but I'm not following them already. So my DMs are open to the public. And let me tell you, I get 5 or 6 Asian females. Well, Asian females, you know, pictures of Asian females offering me a unique crypto opportunity every day. 5 or 6 of them, and I report each of them as spam, and somehow it's not slowing down. You would think that enough reporting would eventually stop the phenomenon if Twitter is learning from my reports, but no. And they come out directly in a very recognizable manner. It's Asian female picture, blah 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 blah, and then a link to a WhatsApp or a Telegram. It's as easy as this. All that Twitter has to determine is a Telegram or WhatsApp link being used in the very first message of this person. If so, it's a bot. And Twitter can't even do this. Spud Rucka says, yes, the Asian female bots are endless, like 3 or 4 a day in DMs, so tiresome. And I can't believe that Twitter doesn't have the resources to have a machine algorithm tell, hey, that's a WhatsApp link, so it must be spam, right? You know, like, think a little bit. I don't know how many of these DMs are each account sending. Maybe just one. In that case, you have to detect it for what it is, for the content. You have to detect the WhatsApp link. And, you know, sometimes there's a space in it, but a machine learning algorithm shouldn't be fooled by a space. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, I am unverified and I've been trying to speed scroll to reach the rate limit, but I've unable to reach it. Did anyone else reach it? I haven't reached it, but I have been super self... Because my big fear is, what if I arrive in the show tonight and I can't refresh my pages and I can't show you guys the tweets and the video I want to talk about? That was my great fear. So I haven't reached the limit. I've been self-censoring. I've been chilled by Elon. Pompliano says, Elon Musk's recent decisions around Twitter may appear confusing, but we are watching an impressive company turn around in real time, cutting costs by reducing headcount more than 50%, increased content quality on the For You tab, expanded creator features like 2-hour videos, empowered users to make cash with subscriptions, inserted ad inventory in reply section of tweets, suggest more tweets from user at the end of the thread, increasing user count by forcing account creation, gain a new way to resurrect users via new accounts, diversified revenue with Twitter Blue features, drive the news cycle with each product update, engagement exploded as people complain each time. Critics love to hate Elon, but the product decisions are masterful. Yes, I have to grant this statement. It is absolutely correct. Elon Musk, although he makes bizarre decisions and what happened to... And sometimes he's misleading. Sometimes he's displaying a message, but he's going the other way. Sometimes he's saying, I'm for free speech, but at the same time, he listens to European governments to ban our friend Mark Collette, for example. So sometimes he's misleading. Sometimes he's straight out lying to people. And perhaps today is another case of a lie. Perhaps there is a ultimate reason that justifies this rate limit. But overall, what an impressive feat. Elon took control of Twitter and truly made it better. That is, respect to this man still. Elon announces temporary limits on how many tweet users can view per day. This is linked to the rate error issue many users have been having today. So people were reporting this morning Twitter shut down because they were they were losing control of their Twitter. This person says, this is hilarious. What is this website? sfba.social. Is this some sort of Mastodon? Holy shit. This is hilarious. It appears that Twitter... I'm feeling dirty just knowing that this is my first reading of Mastodon. That's how it looks. Blech. So it's a local server with 5.7k active users, administered by Seb. So I have to have the permission of Seb to subscribe to this server. Blech. I don't want to ask permissions. I want to claim my place on the public space. This is hilarious. It appears that Twitter is DDoSing itself. The Twitter home feed's been down for most of this morning, even though nothing loads. The Twitter website never stops trying and trying. In the first video, notice the error message that I'm being rate limited. Then notice the jiggling scroll bar on the right. The second video shows why it's jiggling. Twitter is firing off about 10 requests a second. So basically, Twitter had not planned that their changes would lead to infinite attempts of everyone in the world to reconnect to Twitter. And so that's also partly why they got rate limited. So perhaps we're talking about a paranoid impression of Elon Musk, because look at this. This is the Twitter customer side sending infinite requests to Twitter constantly. Imagine that 1 billion users had this. Maybe Elon Musk said, holy shit, we just got 10x requests in the last minute. 10x the number of usual requests. We have to rate limit. And so it might have been the fault of Elon Musk to begin with, or the fault of the programmers at Twitter. Maybe something went wrong, and then it gave them a false impression of an attack, but the attack came from their own incompetence. That's a possibility. So just to review, Emerald Spooned Man Baby attempts to steal something he does not really understand, appreciate, or want, realizes he made a huge mistake, forced to accept responsibility, loses much of his fortune, proceeds to break it down beyond all recognition. So apparently this guy was one of the non-blue check guys. Look, big account, but no blue check. And what do I see here? New York Times Magazine, Scientific American. This is exactly the kind of guy who would have had a blue check in the past. Well, I disagree. Elon is a true Twitter lover. That is one thing I fully stand by. Elon is not a fake. The reason Elon paid so much for Twitter is he loves Twitter. He loves Twitter irrationally from an investment perspective. So much so that he was willing to pay more than its true value. So I disagree first that he stole it, he bought it. I disagree that he doesn't understand it or appreciate it or want it. He wanted it very bad, which is why he did a very disadvantageous business decision from a pure financial perspective. He is a Twitter user, a Twitter addict, really, and a Twitter addict who has been successful at improving it. So credits to Elon. But don't leave this rate limitation thing for any more than a week. I will go crazy. I am severely limiting my own use of Twitter. Someone was saying on Twitter, you know, because of the new rate limit on Twitter, I suddenly spoke to my wife and my child, who I have not spoken to for years. And he said, they turn out to be pretty nice people. Oh, that was funny. Let's see what is happening. In France, following our episode of yesterday, the Twitter clip was super popular. Really appreciate the lots of views. And it's a long Twitter clip, and people are watching it through. It's pretty amazing, the engagement for a 48-minute video. Normally on Twitter, you get much less than, you get less than 5%, 10% people making it through. But this one, comparably, did very well. So very happy about people appreciating my little clips. Let's follow up on the events of yesterday. We have some more videos. A militant of the Gilets Jaunes, the Yellow Vest, is interpellated on the Champs-Élysées for incitation to mutiny or incitation to riot. Alors que la situation était calme, la presse est empêchée de filmer. So I don't know, is it from the days of the Yellow Vest years ago, or is it a recent thing? But I think that the person is publishing this for comparison purposes. The behavior of the police then with a Yellow Vest guy and the behavior of the police now, which is to withdraw in front of the violence. Incitation to riot back then, that would have been what justified his arrest. But at this point, we have riots ongoing on the street, and it doesn't seem like the forces of police in France have the situation under control. In fact, this is the Louvre Museum in Paris today. So massive crowds of people participating to these riots. Some people were making a joke about Twitter's new rate limit. Luca Ivan was saying non-blue ticks collecting their daily tweet rations 2023 colorized. It's the bread line, the famous bread line pictures. And you can see the Twitter users, they want their 300 tweets to which they are entitled by Elon's decree. This one made me laugh my ass off. Guess who was right again? France is, that was Donald Trump talking about France, I believe many years ago. Let's see what he had to say.
It's only going to get worse. And Hillary Clinton wants to allow 550% more people from that region into our country. And we have no idea who they are, where they come from, where their documentation is. It's only going to get worse, and it's going to start getting bad in our country. We're letting people come in by the tens of thousands. You see what happened to the French priest, a friend of mine. He said he was going to France like 3-4 months ago. I saw him yesterday. I said, "How'd you like?"
Oh no, that is not from many years ago. It's Right Side Broadcasting. It could, was it today? Is he talking about the? No, it was back in the Hillary days. Hillary wants to allow 550% more refugees. Okay, so maybe it's live Right Side Broadcasting at 11 a.m. this morning, but they were live broadcasting an old video of Trump. Maybe that's what it is.
Like France. He said, "I wouldn't go to France. I wouldn't go to France." Because France is no longer France. France is no longer France. They won't like me for saying that. But you see what happened in Nice. You see what happened yesterday with the priest who was supposed to be a spectacular man. France is no longer France.
Okay, so this would be 2016.
And this world better be very careful, and they better get very tough and very smart.
All right, so Trump being right about France, but then I've also been right about France in that sense. Not hard to predict. Good old Rebel sends $25. Thank you so much for supporting the show. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, you can use the Cointree or Entropy link. The links are in the description below. And if you'd like to send a Odyssey Super Chat, make sure you add a payment method in your Odyssey account. Good old Rebel sends $25. He says, Ryan Dawson said he would like to talk Ted K with you. Would love to see it. You can reach him on Twitter DM. Well, I love this idea. I love this idea that me and Ryan could just do. It wouldn't be a deep episode. It would just be me and him just chilling and talking about how Ted K is awesome. Heard, so I'll write to him right now. Heard you want to do a Ted K episode. That would be absolutely awesome. Just chilling, both of us, and talking about the greatness of Uncle Ted. Do you have any availabilities to come on my show at 7 p.m. Eastern Time any day? All right. So I've written to Ryan. We'll make this happen. Thank you so much for your support and great idea. Good old Rebel says, we'll try and chat him to DM you as well. Well, I've already done, so you don't have to. Well, you can. You can try to encourage him. But the DM is already out. All right. What else? France burns. As an Englishman, I feel tremendous sadness at what is happening to our neighbor. Hashtag France riots. Lines of fire. Rodi Lacid says, you could try to get back in touch with AIU. Atheism is unstoppable too. You used to interact with him a lot in the past. Did I ever interact with AIU? I believe that AIU was on Warski Live once. But did he ever come on my show? I don't remember this happening. I know that I was talking about his videos, and sometimes he was talking about me. But I don't think we ever had a one-to-one. I think the only place where we crossed was the Warski Live, and I wasn't even super involved in that episode, if I remember. A legend must be one heck of a sandwich. Man continues to eat his sandwich as rioters and police clash in Nanterre. Yes, the French sandwich is truly better. You buy a sandwich at the regular convenience store or just a little restaurant that does quick sandwiches. It is insane. The quality of the sandwich in France. You can ask for something like jambon beurre, which means literally butter ham. Ham butter. Okay, so it's a sandwich in which they only put ham and butter. And holy shit, is that good? And you're like, what? It's like in the US, you have, they're going to put tomatoes and lettuce, and it's going, and it tastes this kind of female-y type of meal that's not totally satisfying. And French people have discovered that if you just put butter and ham, it is excellent. I mean, excellent sandwiches. And of course, there's more than this. You can go into all the charcuterie that are excellent. They will put some thick slices of jambon de Bayonne, which is an equivalent of a kind of prosciutto. Their charcuterie are really top. And it's amazing the quality that can come out in just a very simple sandwich. Gray says, if the quality is good enough, just bread and butter can be amazing. Absolutely. Bread and butter, very good. So apparently this guy is benefiting from such high quality sandwich because he's right in the front line of the war between the police and the rioters, but
c'est vraiment pas son problème. Hein. Là ça caillasse, ça caillasse. Il y a la police.
And the guy commenting says, wow, that's really not his problem, right? There he is being happy. People shooting on both sides of the aisle, but he's just chilling there.
Et lui, il mange son petit sandwich. C'est vraiment pas son problème. Hein. Là, ça caillasse, il y a la police. Et lui, il mange...
All right. Justice for Nahel, we can see on the little cube on which he's sitting. French police say we are at war with vermin as nationwide riots spread like cancer. If I was to put money on it, I would say that we're going to see another night of violence, Sky News' Siobhan Robbins said while reporting on a gun store that was looted. So we have a series of new videos, many of them we haven't seen yesterday. So here the guy is holding a mannequin, apparently, which is shaped as a human, but I don't think it's a human, and he's going to break the window.
Voilà. Première avenue. Première avenue, c'est fait. La suite, c'est en train. Les femmes, elles se régalent, hein. Ils ont récupéré un mannequin. SFR, ça a été pillé aussi.
So you can see that pretty much all the commerce in those lanes are affected, destroyed, opened, and looted. We have a current live stream of many cameras across France. We can see burnt stuff, groups of police gathering, groups of young people walking. I don't see any specific action, but that's always what it is when you watch these multi-camera live streams. They capture a lot of dead moments. So that's what's currently happening in France. We have a jewelry store in Marseille. Being looted right here. We have cameras being shot with guns. That would appear from the flash that it's kind of a shotgun, right? Because there's a spread of the bullets. I don't know that it's recommendable to shoot a shotgun like this in the air, just above your head. Oh, looks like it might be a rifle. It's kind of pointy, I don't know. All right, wasteful shooting, says Spindly Opinion. Yes, definitely. That was a lot of bullets to wreck a camera. Cars in a parking lot in Angers, France. Put on fire. All right. I don't want to put too much strain on Elon Musk's Twitter. This is an attack. Sometimes they are attacking people who are white or people who are deemed to be anti-revolution for some reason. So here it. One was trying to run from aggression and he gets tripped by this guy. Let's watch it again. Yeah, it's not a good place to be if you are not part of these groups. That's why I was thinking about this today, a lot of masks. And I wonder how many white people there are behind those masks. And I wonder if part of the justification behind the masks is not so much to hide from cameras or the police, but it could be to hide that they are white, to hide that they are French people who want to join the riot, because you're going to get targeted. You're going to get targeted if you're identified as a potential businessman or a potential person trying to protect their property. Yesterday the clip on the French riots is currently at 35,000 views. Very happy about the performance of my videos on the French riots. So that is my videos on in general. My clips are doing awesome on Twitter by Elon Musk. I love it. More JFK assassination documents have been released, according to Newsmax. 2,600 were already released, and then the largest block of more than 1,000 documents was released Tuesday. This is so many documents, and I don't have a specialization in this field. I guess I'm gonna have to wait for people to analyze it. And since we're gonna have Ryan Dawson perhaps very soon on the show, we might as well extend the discussion beyond Ted Kaye and ask him about the JFK, because I don't know what's in these documents. Is it in these documents that basically the CIA or the deep state in general assassinated JFK? Because I know that it's what a lot of people will say on social media, but is it like proven or is it a theory? T.S. Apostolos says, how many impressions equals one watch minute on YouTube, JF? Oh my God, on YouTube you also have a lot of low duration listening that end up counting as a view. But I don't remember the data back in the days. I mean, yeah, certainly it's not most people that watch a long video, certainly not. But I don't remember what was the data on YouTube. And on Odyssey, I don't even know that they have that kind of data. Study finds that Xanax and Valium associated with brain injury and suicide. Well, no shit. I mean, let me tell you, we had, I was working in a psychiatric clinic, and I was seeing thousands of patients because I was a genetics researcher, and I had to basically meet all of the patients for not so long, but I had to see them all. When I was looking at their medication history, and when Xanax was on there, man, the people were coming in and you would know that they were totally fucked up by it. Like there was a noticeable just destruction of their, not of their body, but you know, when you can see that someone is weak, that someone is and that they're not doing good, that is how you look with Xanax. I was clearly seeing that the patients on Xanax, they were not doing good. Whereas you have these other drugs where, you know, the patient comes in and he's like, oh yeah, I had this problem, but the drug is awesome. It's fixing it all, you know? But Xanax is not one of those. Xanax is like where you wonder whether the medication is worse than the disease. Daryl says, you get really high if you go from never taking Xanax to taking two full bars. I don't know. I've never tried Xanax. I think it's way too extreme. I would absolutely avoid this drug, even if I had these problems. Go away, says, way back in the day, When I was selling drugs, I was robbed by a group of guys I thought I knew well who were all high on Xanax. Okay, well, is Xanax a benzo? I think it's part of the family of drugs that Jordan Peterson got addicted to. I can check for you real quick. Xanax, benzodiazepine. Xanax is a benzodiazepine used to treat anxiety and insomnia. Absolutely. So that's the Jordan's favorite category. CNN explains to its viewers why Justice Amy Coney Barrett wrote about babysitters in her student loan opinion. So I guess that it's part of CNN's job to remind its viewers that, you know, okay, you just got denied your student loan relief, but it's not because Biden didn't try. It's really the evil Supreme Court justices that did that to you. But yeah, they explain what is the metaphor that Amy Coney Barrett used. She said that the executive branch of the government making extreme decisions is a little bit like if you were to leave a babysitter with your children and you say, before you leave, you tell the babysitter, make sure the kids have fun. And then the babysitter decides to bring the kids because you just told her, make sure the kids have fun. So she brings the kids on a roller coaster ride to Disneyland and then spending two nights in a hotel, having maximum fun. Everyone would agree that that the babysitter has gone beyond the boundaries of the expected here. And that she, although there was a delegation of authority and she was instructed to provide fun to the children, no one reasonable would conclude that it was okay for the babysitter to do this. And so it's a little bit the way the Congress relationship to the U.S. government works. If the Congress says, I expect you to be handling the payments of student loan stuff, that doesn't give authority for the government to get super creative and say, all right, well, you don't have to pay student loans anymore if you meet these criteria. That is basically the executive branch legislating via executive fiat. Miley admits, this will be our last news item for tonight. Miley admits that the counteroffensive is slower than predicted as top Ukrainian general blames the lack of F-16s. The counteroffensive is happening more slowly than people predicted. I am not surprised by this. The Ukrainian troops are advancing confidently, purposefully, making their way through very difficult minefields. No. What's happening is that there's no counteroffensive. There is a bunch of Ukrainian, the Ukrainian army and Zelensky are in a situation where they have to make you believe that a counteroffensive is happening because they want more money. And as long as they are in this state of, oh yeah, it's going to come. Oh yeah, we just need a little more resources. Oh yeah, we just need F-16s. They are creating an infinite hole in which you can only pour money until you stop doing it yourself. As long as you're going to be willing to be putting money on there, they're going to keep acting like some counteroffensive is coming when nothing comes. Aquanote says, has no actual meaning or objectives. Exactly. If everyone in this whole relation, this whole triangle between the US, Ukraine, and Russia, if everyone was motivated to have a true confrontation, the U.S. could just say, all right, we're going to give you money, but we expect this progression. We expect you to take over this land, this spot. We expect you to beat this side of the army, this subsection of the Russian army. But no, there's no requirement. So it's infinite money that can be claimed as long as Zelensky can maintain a public face claiming, yeah, we're doing things with it. Go away, says Jeff. They're probing, testing the weaknesses in the Russian line. The real counteroffensive will start in 2 weeks. Trust the plan. Okay, so it's 2 weeks to flatten the Russian line. this is the kind of belief that they've been pushing for much more than 2 weeks, for years at this point. I mean, how much time has it been? More than a year, easily. So I'm not believing it. So we are being bullshitted, and it's going to keep going as long as you're willing to be bullshitted. And that's the problem. Our elites are willing to be bullshitted for some reason. Perhaps they've been bought out, perhaps they're corrupted, or perhaps they're just stupid. That is it for tonight, Buzz. Much love. I'll see you all tomorrow.